that's rather ominous for a beginning of a work week, isn't it?
It sure is. Is this like a little sign of what we're going to expect?
No. It's a happy show. Good morning. It's Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin here on your morning tradition, where we are...
living our faith.
Yeah, I just grabbed this. I didn't mean for it to be so ominous. I'm going to have to start labeling my music, I guess. Well, welcome aboard. Hey, a couple things this morning. We are one step closer to Lent as we start thinking that away.
Mm-hmm. Man, about 10 days.
Yeah. And we want to talk a little bit about St. Blaise, which is the feast day of St. Blaise, coming up day after tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And they use the candles and the throat,
to bless
the blessing
the
of the throats.
Mm-hmm.
Something I have always partaken in because it's kind of like, you know, the bread and butter around here.
Yes, it is.
But also now, since you and I have begun this little radio apostolate, you definitely have to have your throat blessed now, too.
I get it done all the time.
The whole family. Mm-hmm. Because we get the kids doing the same today. Whether you use your throat for speaking and your vocal cords and all that, either way, it is good to get your throat blessed. It helps to...
It's for ailments, too, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in this time of year, mm-hmm. you know, it's not going to prevent a cold. Of course not. I mean, if somebody has a cold and comes and sneezes on you, you're probably going to get it. But
if it's God's will,
if it's God's will, but you take what you can, right? So get your throat blessed. Also, I've always looked at it as this: getting your throat blessed helps you to not do things like backbiting, gossiping.
Oh, you
know?
Really?
I don't know. I just always kind of looked at it that way. No one's ever said that to me, but I look at it that way.
Okay.
A little bit. Our Lady of Good Success, we're talking about keto today. Our friend John Veneri is down in Quito, Ecuador for tomorrow. And it's the tomorrow is the canonical coronation 25th anniversary. They'll have rosary. They'll have all kinds of stuff. And John is going to, I think, on Catholic Family News.
He's going to have a write-up about it, I believe.
Is he going to do one of those video updates
Possibly.
Like he did from Rome?
Possibly.
If he does, we'll latch on to some of that. He said he was cool with us doing that. He generally, when John Veneri takes these trips overseas or in other countries, not overseas, but in these other countries and stuff, and we found this out just in our own little broadcast world here, things, when you go on location, things get real hairy and real busy real fast.
Mm, yes, it does.
Not only do you have to concentrate on what content you're putting out there, you also have to concentrate on logistics. Where are you going to set up? Who are you going to talk to?
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to talk? When is the best time to get internet access? All of that stuff.
Yeah.
And lugging equipment around. And John does all this on his own. So, but he gave us permission to, if he does any of the video reports from Quito, we'll grab a couple of those for you and get you some audio probably on Wednesday. I think probably probably on Wednesday.
Possibly.
Depends. We'll check. Check Catholic Family News, cfnews.org.
Excuse me.
And keep checking back. And keep checking back here as well. And in conjunction with that, we want to talk about Candlemas today, the purification of the Blessed Mother. This is an exciting time leading up to Lent.
It sure is.
We're going to have our friend Kathy Heckenkamp. Heckenkamp, right?
Yeah.
Why do I always feel like I should be saying Heckenback?
I don't know.
Like you've been to Heckenback.
No, it's Heckenkamp.
Yeah. Kathy Heckenkamp, who runs the website, the apostolate, ourladyofgoodsuccess.org or .com?
.com.
.com. We'll have her on here in a little bit. We're going to give her a call and talk about Candlemas. How does Candlemas fit in with Our Lady of Good Success? We will find that out. And she has such a devotion there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be our guest today. And then we have to make a clarification
mm-hmm.
on something, right?
Right.
Okay, what is it?
Well, we had mentioned about St. Raphael Press, that you could find information about good books up in Canada from them. And somebody actually went and looked for them and couldn't find them on the internet.
St. Raphael Press.
St. Raphael Press, right. So we just wanted to clear this up. And if you went to www.christian-warfare.com, you'll find St. Raphael's Press.
Okay.
So it's Christian-warfare.com.
Which is what they used to go as. And mm-hmm. so the website was set up as that,
mm-hmm.
and then they changed their name to St. Raphael Press, but they kept the website, because
mm-hmm.
it can get expensive, as we know.
Yes.
So, okay, so say that again, just so we cement it in.
It's Christian-warfare.com.
Okay, go look that up, and you'll find St. Raphael Press. Later, Lisa, we will wrap up the show today with a little happiness. I want to try and do that, a little uplifting story, or one of those stories that make you go, what? Why? It wasn't an uplifting story the other day that I ended with the...
Aren't you glad you homeschooled?
Yeah, aren't you glad you homeschooled? Although it's uplifting if you homeschool or if you have your kids in a good Catholic school.
Exactly.
You can say, well, glad that's not us. But that's not necessarily a good thing to do either. Today, though, I have a little more lighthearted. Your mom, did she ever make brown bag lunches for you?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Moms make the best sandwiches, don't they?
Uh-huh.
I will explain how one young lady decided to pay tribute to her mother for all of those years of brown bag lunches. The same sandwich over and over. She had one sandwich she made for her.
Oh, really?
The same sandwich over and over again. She paid tribute to her mother. And it's beautiful. I love it. So that's going to be that's going to be the show this morning. Look forward to it. Hopefully you can stick around. But right about now, Lisa, this is that time of your morning tradition when I love to look over into your lovely blue eyes.
They are blue, aren't they?
Yeah, they
are blue eyes. And ask the question, how can you know where you're going?
If you don't know where you've been.
That's why we do this day in history, you see.
We have made history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today is the very first day of February in the year of our Lord, 2016. By the way, Groundhog's Day tomorrow.
Yay.
I don't know, where'd that come from? Is that a German thing, I think?
Pexitani, isn't it?
Well, that's Pennsylvania, yeah, but I think that's a German, because there's a lot of Germans out there, or Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch. Let's move on. It is the 32nd day of the year. There are 333 more of these babies left. It was on February the 1st in the year 481, Vandal King Hunneric, I guess I'm getting that right, Hunneric, he organized a conference between Catholics and Arian bishops at Carthage. Interesting.
On this day in 772, Adrian I begins his reign as Catholic Pope.
'Twas on this day in 1327, a teenaged Edward III was crowned King of England. The country was ruled actually by his mother, Queen Isabella, because he was just a kid. He was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was worried about when he was going to get his driver's license.
On this day in 1861, Texas secedes from the United States, and it's the American Civil War.
Right, as part of the Civil War, they said. And a lot of folks in Texas today would like to be their own country. It was on this date in 1865, President Lincoln signed the 13th Amendment into being. That's just the one that abolished slavery.
On this day in 1884, the first volume of the Oxford English Dictionary is published.
Interesting. I wonder what the very first word was in there.
Hmm.
I bet it started with an A.
Of course.
This day in 1893, Thomas Edison finished construction of the very first motion picture studio. It was called the Black Maria because basically, you can look it up on the web, it's basically just a wooden frame with black tar paper around it because they needed it as dark as it could be. And this was in West Orange, New Jersey.
Do you mean the Black Maria?
The Black Maria, they called it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. On this day in 1960, four black students staged the first of the Greensboro sit-ins at a lunch counter in Greensboro, North Carolina.
In 1979, this is the day that the Ayatollah Khomeini came back to Iran, 15 years after his exile.
And on this day, 2003, the space shuttle Columbia disintegrates during re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere, killing all seven astronauts aboard.
Yeah, I remember. I was doing a radio show, an afternoon show at a country music station at the time. And up on the screen, up over in the side, you know, we had news playing and that came on. What do you do? I mean, you're on the air and you're coming out of a song. We have an emergency? Strange things like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, let's go back. 1327, I mentioned a teenage Edward III.
Yeah.
That was way back, Lisa. Hang on. When
England was still Catholic.
Yay.
All right, there you go.
Thanks.
We're going to take a break and we're going to get back here and talk to our good friend, Kathy Heckenkamp. We're going to talk about Candlemas and Our Lady of Good Success. Tomorrow is the day for the anniversary. A dawn procession and more. What is all entailed there? And Candlemas. What is... You don't hear much about Candlemas anymore.
And the purification.
Yeah.
Our Lady of Good Success.
Saint of the Day is coming up. Stephen Cox will join us with news and more. It's all on the way here on Your Morning Tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin at Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com, where we are...
living our faith.
Well, please welcome to Magnificat Radio this morning, and, well, unless you're listening this afternoon...
That's right.
Someone who's become a fairly good friend, whom we've never met. It's a little awkward. Hopefully we will meet someday. The curator of Our Lady of Good Success.com, and she is Kathy Heckenkamp once again. Kathy, it's nice to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike. And Lisa, too.
Yep, she's the big hair lady is right here with us.
Yep.
So, okay. Now, coming up, here we are on Candlemas, which will be right after the novena. And what I was hoping that you could do for us and our listeners is sort of explain the connection there between Candlemas and Our Lady of Good Success. Of course, the
Feast of the Purification.
The feast is coming up, and that'll be the 25th anniversary. It all sort of culminates there. Can you kind of tie all that together for us?
Well, I'll try to do my best, okay? So, Our Lady of Good Success, you know, the last time we spoke, we talked about the first couple of apparitions. And so on the third apparition to Mother Mariana, which happened on January 16, 1599, incidentally, she kind of liked to appear to her in January and February for her most important messages. 16th is kind of an interesting one because Mother Mariana's death day is actually January 16th. And we know that February 2nd is Candlemas Day. So she appeared a lot during this time for her most important and profound messages. So she appeared to her on that day, January 16, 1959, and that's the day, actually, that she tells that she really wants a statue to be made to her, of her. And she says that the bishop needs to be included in this order, and that he should actually consecrate my statue with holy oil and give it the name of Mary of Good Success of the Purification, or Candlemas. On this solemn occasion, he himself should place the keys of the cloister together with the cloister in the right hand of my statue as proof that the government of the spouses of my most holy sons has been entrusted to me, and that they should surrender all their concerns to my maternal and loving protection. So, she really is very emphatic about it, that she wants to be titled that, and that her feast day is supposed to be the Purification or Candlemas Day. And it's interesting because if you look at the Feast of the Purification, well, this is like the most ancient feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes.
And they go back, they say that it is among the most ancient of feast days, and sermons can be found all the way back to the year 312 A.D.
Isn't that something?
Okay. Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, you know, in our time, unfortunately, I think this feast day has kind of been cast aside, although it is a double second-class feast day on the same level as the circumcision. But we don't have it as a holy day of obligation.
Right.
So, it is an important day because in the life of the church, because on that day we have the blessing of the candles. And, you know, going back to the original Feast of the Presentation, what I'm saying is when Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus go to the to see Simeon, well, they were the little procession, and they had little candles in their hands and the two turtle doves and they went to see Simeon and Anna in the temple. Right. And it is there where Simeon accepts our Lord Jesus Christ into his arms, and Anna is present for that as well. And Simeon actually represents the old law, and he accepts our Lord, and Anna actually represents the new church, or the church of the Gentiles, okay, the Gentile people. Mm-hmm. And so this is the first time that our Lord is presented to the world, to the public, okay? Right. So it's a very interesting and kind of a mysterious correlation, because a lot went on in that little event, because not only did she present our Lord to Simeon, but also she presented herself for purification, she and our Lord, who needed no purifying, but they were both very humble and following the law of the Jews and did what they needed to do according to their religion.
Isn't it amazing? You mentioned this little event, and it is so big and so deep. And isn't it another amazing thing about our Catholic faith that so many small events that you can find are so rich and so deep? And you know, I always think of this day and Simeon as also sort of a representation of converts, so to speak, or people who are looking for the truth, they're searching for the truth, and then when it is presented to them, when they find it, and where it's that aha moment, you know, and
it's like
it's Simeon, you know. So I love that. So coming up on Tuesday, the 2nd, is the day of the feast. That's the actual anniversary of the coronation. What's going to happen on that day in Quito?
Well, in Quito, what they've been doing this year, they were trying to imitate what Mother Mary Anna had actually instituted down there. And this hasn't been done, I don't think, in many, many years. I think probably in the beginning of 20th century, maybe they had done some of this. But after Vatican II, things kind of fell apart, of course. So what they've been doing is every day, they had a Rosary of the Dawn procession with a miniature statue of it's called Our Lady of Peace. It actually dates back to the time of Mother Mariana, so it's this tiny little statue, and they take it in procession, and they've been going to all the different monasteries and convents of Quito in that area. So they're the oldest monasteries in Quito, so like the Jesuits and the Carmelites and the Mercedians and all these that used to help in this profound feast day, because they were called on the first time in 1611 when the bishop did what he was supposed to do by Our Lady, who ordered him to anoint the statue. This was a big deal on that day, February 2nd, 1611, and they had this profound novena to Our Lady Good Success of the Purification and Candle Mass, and they did this. They had every day, they had a mass in every order that was down there. Had a specific day during those 9 days, and the Mercedarian would come in, or the Jesuits, or the Carmelite, whoever was down there, they would get a special day, and they would preach on Our Lady. So this is actually somewhat mimicked, excepting that I don't think they have the priests actually doing that. I don't know for sure, but there is a Latin Tridentine Mass there at 8:30. But they are going to these convents, and they're welcoming the statue in and getting blessed. So it's kind of very interesting. And then, of course, on the feast day, it's a big day, Rosary of the Dawn, and I'm told that they're hoping to process with the miraculous statue around Quito on that day. And then, of course, we know the blessing of the candle.
Right.
And all that will take place. So, very important. So, this feast day, it's kind of interesting because also, do you have any questions before I keep going?
I'm enthralled. I think we're hanging on, we're listening to what you're, because I think as you're talking and describing this, we're getting a mental picture here. You're kind of taking us on a little journey, and I love this.
Okay. I do.
All right. So, what I wanted to tell you about, a little bit more about this feast day, and you know, a lot of it has been lost, but I do, my husband has a 1930s missal, okay, and in it has the blessing of the candles and the processions and all that, and what I really found interesting was the epistle talks about, I have to go to it.
Sorry. No, that's fine.
Behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face, and presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament who desire shall come to his temple. And so, remember, this is a feast day of Our Lady. Mm-hmm. So who is the angel that they're talking about going to the temple? It's Our Lady.
Mm-hmm.
And also an antiphon says, embrace Mary, for she is the very gate of heaven, who brings to you the glorious King of the new light. So we are really honoring Our Lady on this day, that she is the presenter of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even though she didn't need purification, she went to that temple and heard the words of Simeon. And at that moment, when she heard that her own soul a sword shall pierce, she realized all the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the church. She saw it all.
Wow.
And she accepted that mission of a victim soul for a co-redemptrix is what she was. She was, yeah, a co-redemptrix. Yes. She accepted everything. She wanted to die with Christ. She would rather died on the cross with our Lord than continue on, okay? It was
right.
almost too hard for her. And she would have died, I'm sure, if our Lord and God, the Eternal Father, wouldn't have sustained her from seeing all that. But she accepted that. So, you know, the presentation, the purification, we have that in the joyful mysteries of the rosary, okay? So the joyfulness is that our Lord is presented to the world, you know, as our Savior,
right,
Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the sorrowful part is that both of them, our Lord and our Lady, saw what they were going to have to endure, and our Lady's heart was pierced with the sword at that moment. And so we have that in the first seven dolors of Our Lady, the sorrows of Our Lady. So it's very sorrowful and joyful at the same time. And so she was, I'm going to say this, a victim soul, you know, quote unquote, okay, for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about Our Lady Good Success, who else was the victim soul? Well, Mother Mariana, okay? So Mother, mm-hmm, Mariana also accepted being a victim soul for the 20th century. So we have to kind of combine this, and we have to kind of think, okay, so meditating on this, we see that Mother Mariana was a victim soul. Our Lady wants this feast day, very important for the church and for the 20th century. She's asking us to pray to her under this title. This is my own opinion, that she's asking us and calling us to be victim souls for this time as well, that we should unite our sufferings, our joys, and our sorrows with her to see the purification of the church, because also purification can mean restoration.
Yes.
So that's why this feast day is so important, because she's asking us to recognize her as the mother of the purification, or mother of the restoration.
And you make a good point. You make an interesting parallel there. And isn't it something that it's, here we are at the beginning of Lent as well. And so we can offer up our fasting, our penance, and tie it all together.
But even outside of that too, like we've been talking about, outside of Lent though, even we can do extra sacrifices, extra penances,
yes.
Right.
For the church,
right,
for the priests. That's what, mm-hmm, we have to do. I agree,
yes,
with you.
So,
yes, very important.
We're talking with Kathy Heckenkamp. She is she's the lady who put together OurLadyOfGoodSuccess.com. You can visit the website. A wealth of information on the website. You've done a very nice job with that, by,
yes,
the way.
Yes.
Oh, thanks. And by the way, it's getting updated. So hopefully it will even be more significant and important for people to find things, and I'm having a little help on that, so
wonderful.
It's going to be better. So.
Wonderful.
Great.
Yeah. Can we get you to hang on just for a second there, Kath? We're going to come back and take care of more information for you from Quito, Ecuador, and Candlemas, and Our Lady of Good Success, and how it all ties together.
Right.
And what maybe you can do at your house if you can't be at Quito. All of that coming up with our guest, Kathy Heckenkamp. Mike and Lisa Austin here with a continuation of your morning tradition here on Magnificat Radio, magnificatmedia.com, where we are
living our faith.